Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am super excited. I've got another repeat guest. His name is Jeffrey Hazlett, and he has been on the show a while back. As a matter of fact, he was episode 99 back in October of 2015. But he's in New York today, and we're going to be talking about his new book. It's The Hero Factor. Hey, Jeffrey, how you doing, man?
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. So let's just dive right in. If people want to learn more about you, go back and listen to episode 99. It talks about Jeffrey's backstory and everything you need to know about him. But Jeff is he's a titan in the industry. I mean, the bottom line is this man knows his stuff. So let's dig in. Let's talk about The Hero Factor. What exactly is the book? Why did you write it and who is it for?
Well, I tell you, it's all started with a guy by the name of Rob Ryan back in 1998, sold his company for $20.4 billion. One of the biggest transactions that ever occurred in business history. In fact, it hasn't even been surpassed, wasn't even surpassed until 2016 when Microsoft bought LinkedIn for about $24 billion.
Right.
And when he sold the company, he set aside a percentage of the company for every employee, making the single largest number of millionaires ever created in one day. It was just wow. So he and his wife said they didn't have to do this. They just decided that's what they wanted to do, was to take care of the people that took care of them. And they did that. And so what would happen is all these people would run up to him and see him, you know, at work or at, in, you know, in a restaurant or at the grocery store and say, Mr. Ryan, you don't know me, but I'm the night watchman and I can send my kids to college. Or I'm the janitor and I can pay for my wife's mother's cancer operation, you know. And they would tell him, they said, you know, to both Rob and Terry, you're my hero. Yeah, you know, he never felt like a hero, but that's what he did. I mean, he said, well, you know, I can do something better than this. I could get other people together, do the same thing. And so he started a little group, you know, you might call it a mastermind group, and he called it the Hero Club. And they would put, you know, he got about 20 people in a room and he would start to help them, you know, scale their business or close their business or, you know, to do it more efficiently. And but he could never get it big, and he finally saw what we were doing with C-Suite Network, so he approached us and became part of the C-Suite Network. But we did one thing differently, and we added a pledge to it, and a pledge that says you're going to do the right things. Now, we're not going to dictate you what the right things are. You know what those things are. You're an adult. But to make sure that you remember the people that got you there. So it's all about, you know, focusing on hero cultures. And by hero cultures, you take people over profit. And you take your community over all other things. And by doing so, we found out, you know, we're good to, you know, people have been referring to this book as that was where good to great left off. But where you have a great company, you have a good company. But beyond the good company, that you can be a hero company. In a hero company, you have more profit, you have more net worth, more value, happier employees, happier customers that become more loyal. And then also you have vendors who just want to do work with you. So this is all about doing the right thing and, you know, and not about taking the money and running. Now, let's be clear. We're in the free enterprise system. So we all want to make money. It's how we keep score.
Right.
That's what keeps things going. But there's a choice that businesses can make now. You can be a bottom liner, which is not a bad thing, or you could be just a good co, or you could be a wannabe. I call all these descriptions and what I call the hero intensity factor, a hero intensity chart. And you can get that, by the way, just by going to herofactorbook.com, and I give it away for free. So you can see where do you stack up. Or you could be a do-gooder, you know, and do-gooders, they're nice people, but they'll never make any money. And, you know, if you don't make any money, that doesn't help you do what you want to do in terms of live the values. You can live your values, but if you don't have an impact with them because you're not making money so you can do more good, then what's the use? Or you could be an asshat company, you know, a real loser. And there's a lot of those out there too.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's obviously a lot more talk about that because one of the things that I talk about a lot in my journeys is when I was in my 20s, I worked for AT&T Corporation. I made about $40,000 at the time. That bought me, you know, a truck. It bought me, paid for a house. It did all of these kind of things. And here I've got millennial kids that are in their 30s, you know, and they're making $50,000, and this is like 40 years ago, you know? And so, you know, that kind of, that's more what I consider to be prevalent in the industry, but you're saying that companies can actually do better by taking care of their people more. And,
sure.
and that's kind of, it's somewhat counterintuitive to what you hear today, you know, at least from the news or whatever.
Well, I mean, the news focuses on what the news does, and nobody ever focuses on good stuff. They always want to focus on the bad stuff. I mean, TV, it's the reason I'm still not doing, I'm doing my own primetime shows, doing my own thing on C-Suite TV. I took my shows off of Bloomberg and, mm-hmm. And other networks is because, yeah, the only reason that you're good on TV anymore is you make somebody cry. I'm not into that, you know, cry from happiness, maybe. but, you know, I'm not interested in watching people, you know, suffer or doing those kind of things. So
yeah, but as far as the companies that you're talking about, I mean, there's something I've heard over the course of the years, social consciousness or cause marketing or all those kind of things. You know, it's the Bill Gates building and training and educating and building water fountains in Africa and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, those are nice, but those are, you know, are putting coffee in your break room, free coffee, big, you know, nice, awesome.
Right.
But it's more about saying, no, we're going to look at companies like REI, look at companies, you know, that tie their well-being to what they do and how they live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think anybody wakes up every morning and says, I can't wait to be stupid. No, I think there are some of those people. You know, let's be clear. I do mm-hmm. think there are a few of those, right? but I think by and large, most people don't. And so I think most people want to do good. I'm talking about, look, where I'm from in South Dakota. I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When I was a young man starting out and doing my own business, I was 26 years old, had my very first company, you know, bought my very first Mercedes, so forth and so on. I made my first million then. Mm-hmm. But when I went to the Village Inn Pancake House, that's where the business people hung out. That's where the chamber guys and gals hung out. Mm-hmm. So I would go there and for breakfast, and I would sit at a table next to the big table. Okay, we're talking about the big table. The big table was a round table with about 8 people sitting around it, and they were the titans of my city. The mayor was there, you know. Stewart was there, Bernie was there. I can name Shock was there. I can name who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always hope one day I'm going to be at the table. One day I'm going to be at the table. Because, see, that was the table of the people who took care of things. And I'm not talking about the bosses. I'm talking about they made sure that the symphony got funded. They made sure that this charity got done. They made sure that their employees walked in the walkathon. You know, they were the kind of people, you know, that were just really special. And I looked up to them. And yet their businesses were big. They were good. But they gave. They had a giving arm. They had an arm that says, hey, we live in this community, damn it. And we need to take care of it. And we can't just lay off people. We got to hire people. We got to do this so we don't have to do that, you know? And to me, that's what the hero movement's all about. It's about the hero factor. What are those things that make your business stand out from everybody else? Not from an efficiency standpoint. All those things are important. Right? I say about this in the book. I said, I don't care if you're a do-gooder. I don't care if you're a wannabe. I don't care if you're a bottom liner. Just pick a side.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a side, man. Decide what the hell your business is going to be, and then drive to that. Don't give me the lip service. Don't give me a check to make it look green. You know, meaning that I live my company like I'm a green company, and I'm going to get carbon, you know, carbon credits. Blah blah blah. Live the damn thing.
Right, and authenticity is what you're talking about, really.
Yeah, amen, brother. I mean, someone said, how do you be authentic? I said, what?
Yeah, right.
How about live it? How about walk it? How about breathe it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what this book's about. It's about recognizing there's a choice. And I think right now, more than anything, I mean, in fact, in the book, The Hero Factor, I talk about the Me Too movement. I talk about athletes taking knees, and mm-hmm. I talk about Trump. I mean, you know, I like the fact that we're having this turmoil today.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because I think when we have struggles, and what's happened since, you know, let's just pick this out, since he's gotten elected, is that people are picking sides.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, because before they didn't pick sides, and look what we got. So whether you liked them or not, you know, you got what you got, because not enough people, you know, now there's record turnouts. Now there's people saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Well, where were you before?
Right. Well, that's the biggest thing. I mean, going down the election road, and I've got another point I want to make after this. The election road was is the largest electorate that was out there were people that didn't vote. It was over 100 million, you know, and, yeah. and now that's changed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you went down memory lane in South Dakota to the restaurant, the Pancake House. I was going down memory lane back to when I worked at AT&T, and I was in the video department, and I was asked to do a video on what motivates employees. And there's another side to that story. I got the chance to interview Tom Peters from In Search of Excellence.
Oh, yeah.
Tom. Room. Yeah.
That's awesome. I haven't heard Tom in a long time.
No, I got to meet with him in his hotel room in Houston, Texas. And I got to interview him for a TV show that we were doing. Yeah. And but they both had the same answer to the question. And I was asking all of the managers at AT&T what motivates their employees. And what I found was it wasn't so much the money, because money has a intrinsic value. It gives you, it's like a sugar high, you know, you get it and then all of a sudden it's gone. But what most people valued was a pat on the back of feeling like sure. they had a purpose, that they were worth something. And what you were telling me in that, and that's the same thing that Tom Peters did. I mean, there was a company where a guy would hold social sessions with all of his people in the shop floor all the time. I mean, that was in Search of Excellence, a movie. I think that is what is kind of at the core of it. Yes, you can take money and do things. You were talking about being green, but that's not the answer to being a hero company. Is that correct? Is that
right? No, that's correct. It's about having stated values that everybody understands. 28% of the people who work at companies today can't even tell you what the company stands for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's almost a third of your people who don't even know what you stand for. Now, I got to tell you, when I was reading the audio version of my own book,
mm-hmm.
and I'm reading it, and I got very emotional during the reading because it's one, it's really good. Two, there's some stories in it just like they grab you. Like, for instance, you know, give you an example mm-hmm. of the last civilian off the plane when the plane went down in the Hudson River on the Miracle in Hudson. In fact, it's the 10th anniversary this month on January the 15th.
Right.
And that U.S. Airways plane landed on the Hudson and everyone walked away alive. Unheard of. And Dave Sanderson was working for the company. He was the last civilian off the plane. He was one of two people who were hospitalized because of hypothermia, but standing in waist-deep water. And so he was taken to the hospital, spent the overnight. They flew him home the very next day. He decided to stop by his work. So his family met him at the airport. He took his two children with him. And his wife says, honey, do you really want to do that? Yeah, I should, you know, stop by and let him know I'm okay. And, of course, he got, you know, there he was, walked into the office. And the first thing somebody did to him was his boss walked up to him and said, hey, you going to Detroit next week? Not, damn, dude, what are you doing here?
Right.
You just survived a plane crash. My God, go home. Or how are you? Or, hey, we sent a crew over to take care of your wife last night. We're bringing food over for today because we don't want you to worry about things. Take the next 3-4 days off, dude. Do you need a counselor? Should I send someone over? You know, or I'm going to go do those things. How about a counselor for your kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead, they said, hey, you going to Detroit next week? Which is the biggest bunch of bullshit. You know, there's a company that doesn't have values.
Right.
So as I'm reading the book and I'm reading my own stuff about the things that I'm preaching about, I'm going, holy crap, am I living up to all the potential that we could have? Am I being as hero? Do I have the full hero factor I can have? Where would my business stand on my own intensity chart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, like most people who are like us, you know, we have doubts just like anybody else. And well, even though we might be on air, you know, reading or commentating or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the first week of January, I sat down with my team and I said, let's reevaluate where we're at. This is what we say we are. Are we really this kind of company? Are we really doing what we want? And we made adjustments. We made changes, which was awesome. You know, so now, and immediately after we did that, I mean, everybody started feeling rejuvenated. I had more people doing, you know, coming with me. Oh, what about this, Jeff? What about this? You know, that's the kind of awesomeness that you want to have. But you got to recognize and you got to run. You have to run a company that's inclusive, diversive, you know, have diversity across the board, diversity of thought, diversity of people, diversity of age, diversity of sex, diversity of race. I mean, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, man, you excel. You excel. And that's what being a hero factor is all about.
Right. So one of the side benefits or maybe one of the side issues that I want to talk about is – When my dad retired from AT&T, he got a gold watch for staying there for 42 years. Yeah. I probably could have had a job for life, but I didn't. My kids, most millennials and stuff like that, when they're going out and looking at companies, they're looking at, you know, what they're doing, but they're not very loyal. They usually stay there 3 years, 5 years and stuff like that. Is being a hero factor company something that helps attract millennials and keep them, or is it keeping people in their jobs longer?
I think it attracts all people, regardless mm-hmm. of whether they're millennial or not, but people of similar values. What, you know, when you have an entrepreneurial company, you attract, you know, you're a one man band or one woman band, and then you attract devout followers, and then you add these skilled, you know, professionals mm-hmm. and tacticians. So in a business, you want people of like values, because if you have people of like values, meaning around a similar value system, then that builds the culture. Now you expand that culture over time by expanding the diversity of your group, but the values remain the same. So whether you're millennial, whether you're, you know, an old fart, you know, she should be attracting the best. And you do that by having great values.
So what's the moral of the story? What's the whole purpose behind this? And what do people need to intrinsically change in themselves? I mean, we talked about authenticity. I mean, I think that's huge. It's not just putting a face on it, doing PR and all this other stuff. What do people need to look at from a core level themselves, especially in the upper management side?
Pick a side. Do you have a stated set of values for the company? Is your state of values aimed at protecting the communities you serve and mm-hmm. being the best in what you do? And if you do, then my gosh, you're going to succeed. But most people don't have that discussion. You want to make profit. You'll focus on that. But where's the discussions in your boardroom? Where's the discussions in your, you know, lunchrooms where you're talking about the good things that you do, the value that you create?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to be in a company. I've been in companies where I've cut 8,500 people. I don't want to do that. You ruin people's lives. Now I save the company, you know, prolonged its agony. But I don't want to be like that, you know. And then, you know, I was in a company where I did that one time, and then they wanted to hand me a check for a couple million bucks as my bonus.
Right.
As an executive. I said, you got to be kidding me. We just ruined people's lives. You want me to take money for that? No, I'm not doing it. You know, so those, you know, that's just, I mean, that to me is, that's a hero value right there. It, you know, the values of community, values people over profit. It says, like, why? Let's find another way. If our values are to have great people work for us to deliver great products and services to great, great people, meaning our customers, then by gosh, let's focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, it ain't just about selling electricity or selling a camera or selling film or selling a printing or selling, you know, a widget or an app. It's more than that. I mean, that's anybody could do that shit. I want people want to do it in a good way. I want to be, and I'm inspired by people like that every day. That's what we have, a hero club. You know, our hero club are these men and women who are dedicated just to that, who sign a pledge, you know, and we have hundreds and hundreds of these, and I assume to have thousands this year, and by the, hopefully in the next couple of years, tens of thousands, and then into the millions, I hope. I mean, that's what I want to do.
Excellent. So if people want to be a part of this movement, get to know about your book, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you can go to herofactorbook.com, or you can go to heroceoclub.com, and you can find out more right there, and or just email me. It's Jeffrey Hazlett. You can link in with me, email me. You can find me everywhere. I'm on Twitter, everywhere. And I'd be more than happy to help you and work with you. I'd love to have you be a part of it.
Yep, you are just one accessible dude. I follow you everywhere and I see your stuff, and it's great, man. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show and dropping some sizzle and hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I look forward to the next time when you have a new book or something special to talk about.
You know, anytime it has something to do with bacon, and everybody who knows me knows I love bacon. So this is like my anthem podcast right here, and bacon. You got it.
I love it, bro. Thanks again for coming on.
Cheers.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.